My name is Jolene Wilshire, and I'm talking to Marie Morris here in Trigg County, Kentucky. Today's date is April the 12th, 1983. Marie, are you agreeable to being interviewed today on tape?
Yes.
Okay, just to make sure that my records are correct, would you please spell your full name?
MarieAMorris.
Okay, and your husband's name?
Douglas.
Could you spell his name for me?
Douglas.
Okay, thank you. Marie, what is your occupation?
Housewife.
Okay. And your husband's occupation?
He's a retired carpenter.
Have you lived long here in this home?
25 years.
Have you lived anywhere else in Trigg County?
I've lived in Trigg County all of my life. Before I moved here, we lived on the north side of Keyes.
Was that with your parents?
Yes, we all lived in the same house. After we were married, we lived together for 12 years. We moved to Keyes in 1923. I was 10 years old in February. We moved here in December. And I've lived in Keyes since.
And where did you move from?
In the county. We lived in what was known as the Mershon's Bridge neighborhood.
And what was your parents' occupation?
My father worked with Keyes Railroad.
Oh, that's very interesting.
He farmed up until we moved to Keyes. But when we moved to Keyes, he worked with the Keyes Railroad until he retired.
And what was your parents' name?
Atwood, Henry and Kate Thompson Atwood.
So you've lived in this home then, you said, what, 25 years?
25 years.
That's very interesting. How old are you?
70. Born 1913.
Never guessed that. Never guessed that in a million years. Where did you go to school, Marie?
I started to school at Mershon's Bridge School. And when we moved to Keyes, I started to Keyes Elementary High School. And that's where I graduated. And I didn't go to college. Back at that time, it was time of the Depression. And there were some girls that had gone to business school that got a job here with the government. And you could go and take typing, shorthand. So I took typing from them and some shorthand. But that's all the schooling I had other than high school.
The Mershon Bridge School, was that a one-room schoolhouse?
No, that was a one-room schoolhouse.
Could you tell us what it was like?
Well, it was, when you think back about it, you wonder how one teacher ever taught that many children. But it was very interesting. When I started to school, we sat in double desk. And the younger ones sat in the front, and they graduated on back to the rear for the eighth graders. And It was different.
I imagine it was.
We had a good time. We played ball and we played tag, and of course we had a recess in the morning, one in the afternoon. We of course carried our lunch. And we had to carry our water from a big spring. We'd go down the hill and over a fence style to go in the spring to get the water. Everybody drank in the same dipper.
That's really, you know, we forget that schools were like that mm-hmm. in bygone days. Were there any needle crafts taught? What kind of a curriculum did you have in the school?
In high school, I took 3 years of home economics, 9th and 10th grade, And then in the 11th grade, they decided that those who had already had 2 years could take a third year. So I did.
That was after you moved to town, though, wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yes. There wasn't anything like that taught in the grade school.
Let's talk about your parents for a few minutes. You said their names were?
Atwood.
Atwood. And did your mother, I guess, did all the traditional homemaking things? She wasn't employed inside,
no,
outside the home?
No.
Did she do a lot of quilting and needlework?
She did. She made our clothes and she made our quilts. It was necessary. And would you want me to tell you how she went about it?
Yes, I'd love to hear about it.
Well, to start with, the cotton that went into the quilt, or the wool that went into the quilt, had to be prepared. And she had what we called cards. Of course, that is wire brushes. There were two of them with handles on them. And the cotton had to be carded to get all the tangles and the knots out of it and make it smooth. And she would card that, and when it was smooth to her liking, then she would take it off the cards in the form of a bat, which was about 3 by 8 inches long. And the wool, when it had to be washed and had the burrs picked out of it before it could be carded. But when it was carded, it was taken off of the cards in the form of a roll, like a log. And then these bats were laid side by side on the quilt linings and top put over that. Of course, the cotton, it was necessary to quilt it close, because if you didn't, it would pull apart when it was washed, and people had to wash quilts back then because they were used constantly. Now the wool, it wasn't necessary to quilt it so close because it didn't separate in washing. But in any way, the closeness of the quilting, of course, helped to preserve the cotton quilts. And if they were not quilted close when they were washed, the cotton would pull apart and there would just be, in spots, nothing but the top and the lining with no filling.
Mm, that's interesting. She didn't do any spinning then.
Now my grandmother did the spinning. Both of my grandmothers, maternal and paternal grandmothers, they had a spinning wheel each. And those spinning wheels, they wore out in parts, so they put them together. For some reason, we always lived in the same neighborhood, and they put their two spinning wheels together to make one good one, and they shared that spinning wheel, and they both spun, and they both knitted. They would knit socks and mittens.
Did you learn how to spin?
Not really. I would turn the wheel. Sometimes my grandmother would let me turn the wheel, but no, I really didn't learn to spin. I was only, I guess, about 8 years old when they discontinued their spinning.
That's really wonderful. They didn't do any weaving then, did they? Just
no, they didn't do any weaving. My mother and I had a little experience in weaving once. After we moved to Katy's, we had a neighbor who had a loom, and it was at least different. Mother took grass sacks, and that's burlap bags. We always called them grass sacks, And she washed them. And we cut those sacks in strips. And we borrowed this loom from our neighbor. And we wove 3 strips, 1 yard wide and 3 yards long, then sewed those strips together and made a rug out of the burlap bags. And when she got it all sewed together, then she took some dye and a brush and went around the edge of that to make a border.
Wow, that's really wonderful. It must have been a real sturdy rug.
It was.
Woven like that.
It was.
Let's talk a little bit about your quilting. When did you learn to quilt?
I guess I learned to quilt maybe in my early teens. I didn't do any quilting when I was a child. I didn't try to. Of course, my earliest memory of quilting was cousins all playing beneath quilt when our parents were quilting. But so far as quilting myself, I was in my teens before I did any.
I expect you learned from your mother or your grandmother?
My mother. Mm-hmm. I don't remember my grandmother quilting.
Did she have any special way to get you to quilt, or any way, special way she taught you to quilt?
No. I just, when I took it into my mind to quilt, well, I just started quilting, of course, from watching her. Well, I knew the steps to take, so.
What was the first pattern that you made?
The first pattern that I made was, in the center was a 4-patch, and on each side, on the 4 sides of the 4-patch, was a rectangle, and in the corners there was a square, which then that made about, I'd say, a 10-inch square, and they were stripped together, and I did that quilt as a home project in home economics school.
In high school.
It was 1929.
What colors did you choose?
I think pink would have been the predominant color. That quilt's gone.
Just a memory now.
That's right.
The fabrics that you used in it, were they bits of old clothing, or were they newly purchased
yes,
fabric?
Yes, they were. I may have bought the fabric to strip it together. I don't remember really. But fabrics, well, we were on a limited income and we couldn't afford the better fabrics, and what we used in our quilts was not as good as fabrics that we might have today, but we had to use what we had, so we just made the best of what we had and used what we had without going out and buying anything special.
They might have been then scraps from your own clothing.
Mm-hmm.
The better parts salvaged from worn garments.
I really don't remember us ever taking a used garment and putting it in a quilt. I don't really.
We used then leftovers from
just leftover scraps. Now my second quilt, I have it still. It's still in good shape. It was a wedding ring, and I pieced it in 1930. I didn't get it quilted at that time, but my mother and a neighbor and I quilted it a few years after that. And I still have it, but I learned something from it. I used white fabric to put it together, and white fabric will yellow.
Yes, it will. Time will yellow it. Were there other members of your family? You said your mother quilted. Do you remember any aunts or maybe uncles or any male
uncles.
Members of your?
No uncles. No. Mother's family all quilted. But as I said, my grandmother Atwood, I don't remember her ever quilting, but she pieced quilts all the time. But she only pieced one pattern. And we called that pattern Sun and Shade. And I didn't know until not too many years ago that it was known as the log cabin.
Did you ever question her why she only pieced that one pattern?
No, can't remember ever questioning her about it. Different members of her family, her children and some grandchildren, would give her these scraps. And she would sit in the corner by the fireplace and piece these quilts. And when she would get one finished, she would sell it for $1 a top. She only want $1. And I have the last quilt that she made. And she died in 1934, and she made this quilt in 1933.
That's wonderful. And then did your mother's sisters, did she have sisters?
Mm-hmm.
Did
yes.
they quilt too?
Yes, they quilted.
So you come from a family of quilters from way back. Were there any particular periods in your life when you might have been too busy to quilt?
Yes.
Can you tell
After
me about
After my children
time?
Were born, and then I went back to work after they were born. And I didn't have time. In fact, at that time, I had some quilts pieced that I didn't even get quilted until I retired 10 years ago.
Oh my. Did that upset you that you didn't have time to quilt?
Oh, it didn't upset me, I don't guess. But in that time, I sewed for myself and my daughter. And I saved a lot of scraps, all of the scraps that I had left over from all the sewing that I did for my daughter and myself. I would fold them and put them back. So when I quit work, I had a lot of scraps to work with.
About 40 years worth. Do you have a special spot in your home that you quilt? Or that you piece?
Well, I piece mostly in, I guess you would call it the den. Mm-hmm. That's where we stay mostly. It's not really a den, it's a dining room, but we use it for a den. That's where I do most of my piecing. But I quilt in hoops, and most of the time I quilt in the back bedroom with my quilt on the bed and by a window where it's real light.
So you spread your quilt on the bed and set it in a frame?
No,
or in the hoop?
It's just in the hoops, and I hold the hoops and just put the quilt on the bed and quilt by the light from a window. But now in the winter, sometimes I quilt with my quilt on card table.
Do you have a special like time of the day that you prefer to quilt, like in the morning? Or?
Well, usually in the afternoon. I never did like to work at night.
Mm-hmm. How long at a time do you quilt?
I wouldn't say that any certain length of time. It depends on whether I have any interruptions or not. And sometimes I set a goal of a block a day. Sometimes I set a goal of 2 blocks a day.
Do you have a favorite source of designs or patterns?
No. I have magazines when I go to magazine stand. There's a quilt book there. I can't resist buying it, and I get my patterns from those books.
We'll come back to the books in a little bit. What are some of the patterns that you enjoy making?
I don't like to hold to one pattern. I'm just a person who likes variety. And I guess that you would say I prefer the sampler quilts. I make quilts with one pattern, but when I do, I use different colors. I just don't like to work with the same fabric all the time throughout a quilt.
What, in your opinion, makes a good quilt?
Well, I think fabric has a lot to do with it. The better the fabric, well, the nicer the quilt. And, of course, good quilting, which I don't consider that I am a good quilter, but it's satisfying to me, and that's the reason I do it.
That answers my next question. Why do you make quilts? For the satisfaction. Is this the same reason that you make them in the first place? For the satisfaction?
It is now. Of course, in earlier times, I made them because we needed them. We had to have them. Winters were cold, and we didn't always sleep in a room where there was a fire. And we needed quilts, and I made them back in those years for the use that I got from them. Now, I make them because I see something that I think's pretty, and I can't resist making it.
True addict. Which do you prefer to do, the piecing of the quilts or the quilting of them?
I prefer the piecing. It goes faster to me.
There's maybe more creative output.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Did you ever participate in a quilting bee?
No. As neighbors, we would quilt together. If we were quilting, well, the neighbors would help quilt, or if the neighbors were quilting, we would help them quilt. But so far as a quilting bee, no, I never did take.
What does that term bring to your mind?
Well, in just hearing my mother tell about quilting bees that were held when she was young, it would be a group of young ladies would get together and quilt a quilt because one of them was going to marry and they would make a quilt for her. But sometimes they would just get together for the fun of it, and I've heard them say that when they would finish the quilt, they would get at the corners and at the sides, take hold of the quilt, and someone would put a cat in the center. And they would shake that quilt, and the girl that the cat ran out by was supposed to be the one that would marry next.
Oh, that's a lovely tradition, or superstition, I imagine. You said that your neighbors got together and quilted. Did you have a special name for those get-togethers?
No. No, it was just good neighbors.
So you just quilted for a little while, or maybe a few
an
hours?
An afternoon.
It wasn't to get the quilt done that day then?
No, no.
Have you ever heard the term quilting party?
Yes, I have, but I never went to what was called a quilting party, so I don't really know. I would assume that that would be similar to a quilting bee, but maybe where they quilted a while and then had some sort of entertainment. I really don't know what the quilting parties were.
What was it like to quilt with a group of ladies?
Well, it's just the same as getting together with a group to talk. We just enjoyed it. We enjoyed each other. Mostly just to get together.
Did you kind of trade recipes, or did you talk about your neighbors, maybe gossiped a little bit?
Well, I'm sure we gossiped. I don't remember if we changed recipes or not.
I just wondered, you know, what sort of conversations you might have had. I know that's kind of a nosy question.
Well, really, you know, it's been some time. It's been a long time. And I really don't remember our conversations.
No. Have you ever heard of the term Kentucky quilt?
I don't remember how long ago it was. Maybe, I believe it's been more than a year ago. Our home demonstration agent was going to teach a lesson on quilting, and she sent those that were interested a pattern, and it was called the Kentucky Star, and we were to piece one star each and bring it to the meeting, and it was to be ready to be quilted. And as far as Kentucky quilt, no, I don't know as I have heard of a Kentucky quilt, but I have a pattern in one of my quilts that is called a Kentucky lily.
Maybe after a while you show that to me if you can lay your hands on
it. I will.
Have you taught anybody to quilt?
No, I don't know as I could say that I have taught anybody to quilt. I never had occasion to teach anybody to quilt other than my daughter, and she wasn't the least bit interested.
That often is the case. Mother does it so well, why bother? You mentioned that you drew some of your patterns from magazines. Could you tell me what some of your favorites are? Or if you have them at hand, maybe you'd share them with me.
I don't know. As like I said, I like variety, and it isn't often that I use the same pattern twice. I have never made two quilts alike. But I'd be glad to show you my quilts.
Love to see them. How many quilts do you think you've made? Can you estimate? You might have an accurate record.
No, I have. I have 11 quilts now. Here in the room, and I know that I have given my two children and grandchildren at least 12 quilts, and I have 3 quilts supposedly in a quilt show now. And besides that, I have old quilts that have been used and that are still being used on beds, so I guess that would be between 25 and 30 total.
But you've made more through your lifetime, I'm sure.
I don't know. I've helped, because I always help Mother make the quilts that she made.
Still a great many quilts. Well, you've told me you have 11 here. What have you done, did you say, with some of your other quilts?
3 of them are in Paducah now for a quilt show. And I have given, when my children married, I gave them 3 quilts each. And I've given them 1 each since. And I have 3 grandchildren, and I've made them 1 each. And I have a great niece, and I made one for her.
How many children did you say you have?
2, a son and a daughter. Okay.
You've never sold any of your quilts, have you?
No. Too much of me goes into it. I can't part with them.
I can understand that very easily. What do you do with an old quilt that starts to wear out?
In time, I have recovered a quilt, put a new top on an old worn out one. But it's been a long time since I have done that. I don't know what has become of them. I guess they just were so worn, probably threw some of them away. I've got pieces of two in the basement that I use to cover some things that are down there that I don't want to be uncovered.
If you see a spot of a favorite quilt starting to wear, do you have it? We were talking about a quilt starting to wear out, that you might maybe put it back and not use it anymore.
No, all the quilts that I made them to use, and I would continue to use them, or I would sometimes put a piece over where it was wearing. I guess you would say patch it. But the quilts, the later quilts that I have made that have not been used, I just don't, I keep using my old ones, and I don't use my new ones.
Okay. You mentioned that you had three quilts in a show in Paducah. Have you entered other shows?
I entered a quilt at Princeton at the Area Homemakers Arts and Crafts Show 2 weeks ago, and I got a blue ribbon on it. And I have entered quilts in the Trigg County Ham Festival.
Have you entered any other shows?
No.
Besides those? Do you have the quilt that you got the blue ribbon for the other day here?
No, it's in Paducah.
It's in Paducah. Could you tell me a little bit about it?
Mm-hmm. I found the pattern in a magazine, and
do you remember the name of the magazine? Okay, that's all right.
No, I can't tell you the name of it.
Okay.
But it was a pattern book. It had lots of pictures and patterns in it, and it had a picture of a butterfly. And the block was 16 and a half inches, and the butterflies were put one in each corner of the block. They were facing each other from the corners. Then there was a quilting pattern that went along with it. And when I cut my butterflies, I cut each butterfly out of a different piece of fabric. There's 80 butterflies in the quilt, no two alike. So I appliqued them to the blocks. Then I sewed the blocks together and drew the quilting pattern before I put the quilt and the lining and the batting all together. Then when I got them all together, well, I was ready then to start quilting. And I put the butterflies on a sheet, and then I used a sheet the same color for the lining.
I'm sure the quilt is, I've seen it, it is beautiful. And you've already gotten a blue ribbon for that.
Yes.
I'm sure you'll get another one. What motivates you to enter a show?
Well, I don't know. It's just that I have put my time into the quilt, and maybe it would be a little bit bragging, but when I finish a quilt, I think it's pretty, and I'd like for other people to see it.
I don't blame you a bit.
Whether I get a ribbon on it or not, I'd just like to display them.
Do you think people's attitude has changed towards quilting?
Yes, I do. I think that, as I've said before, people once quilted because it was a necessity. And now it seems that trend is they make them to show.
How does your husband feel about your quilting?
He doesn't say too much about it. He might think that I was sometimes sort of spread out in the way, but then if he hears somebody else pass a compliment on my quilts, why, he's eager then to talk about it.
Does he ever drag out one of your quilts when you have company and show off your handiwork?
No, no, he doesn't do that. He waits for me to do that.
You've already told me that you use lap frames, so we don't have to get into that question. Do you have any particular favorite color that you seem to gravitate towards when you start a new quilt?
No. Personally, I guess if I had a favorite color, it would be blue. But not necessarily so in a quilt. I like all colors, and I really like flashy colors in quilts. Something that really shows up.
Have you found yourself using different materials for your quilting over the years? Or for your piecing, I should say?
Well, as I said this before, I kept the scraps from dresses and garments that I made for myself and my daughter. And when I got ready to piece a quilt, that's what I would use. And I never bought fabric for but one quilt until just recently. In 1950s, I bought a fabric to make a stamp quilt. And that fabric was, it was quadriga cloth. And it's what the pattern called for. So I bought rainbow colors. There was five of the colors, and it started in the center with a very pale hue of each of these colors. Then the next section, the colors were a little darker. And then the third section, they got a little darker. Then on the corners, they went back to the light as it went out toward the corner. And I gave that quilt to my daughter. And just recently, I bought some blue fabric, and I'm planning to piece a quilt all blue, but it will be a sampler.
Have you ever appliqued a quilt?
I have appliqued three butterfly quilts.
What makes a good stitch to applique or quilt? Which stitch do you prefer?
In applique, of course, to applique the butterfly to a block, I always use the buttonhole stitch. Now, I have appliqued three other quilts, which slipped my mind. Two of them were the Umbrella Girl, and one was the Overall Boy. And in appliquing those, I just did a blind stitch, whip stitch.
Have you embroidered any quilts?
I embroidered one cross stitch quilt, but that didn't fascinate me. And I was so glad when I got it done that I never tried to do another one. I gave that one to my son.
Did the pattern have a name?
It was a flower basket, but I don't remember the name of it.
Marie, do you sign your quilts and date them?
The ones that I gave to my children, I did. I haven't the ones that I have on hand now, but I plan to.
It's important. You should. Was there any particular reason that motivated you to sign the ones that you gave your children?
Well, yes, I thought that they would like to know in years to come the date of making.
Have you ever tried making up your own design?
No. No, I am not creative along that line at all.
I kind of beg to differ on that one, but that's okay.
Well, this past week, I had found pictures of some quilt blocks in a magazine where the ladies had pieced the blocks and entered them in a contest. And one of the blocks had won first place, and the other block had won second place. The pattern was not in the book, so I thought they were so pretty, I would like to piece one of them, eat one of each. So I drafted me a pattern, and I have pieced both of those, which I'll show those to you later.
All right. Well, from what you've told me, you really don't have a favorite pattern then.
Not really, no.
Well, sitting here, I can't help but admire the uppermost quilt that you have laid out for me this afternoon. Could you tell me what it's called and maybe describe it a little bit?
It is called the Double T. And there's a little bit of a history to that quilt. In 1916, my mother's sister married, and my mother pieced and quilted her a quilt called the Double T. And I didn't know about that quilt until 1982, and my aunt showed it to me. So she didn't have a pattern, but I drew a pattern from her quilt and then pieced this one.
That's
from
beautiful.
That pattern.
Can you maybe describe the colors a little bit?
It's just a variety of colors. I don't think there is any color that you couldn't find in it. Now, no two blocks are pieced out of the same colors. You might find the same solid color in two blocks, but the prints are all different.
And each block is beautifully coordinated within itself, and it's sashed in white. You want to tell me a little bit about your quilting design?
The pattern that I used there is just done in bias lines, and of course they cross and form a block, a smaller block than the quilt blocks.
It's very pretty.
In a Stitch and Sew magazine that I bought on quilts, I found a block in the magazine that a lady in Missouri had pieced and entered in a contest. The pattern was not in the magazine, so I drafted me a pattern and I pieced the block.
Did it have a name, Marie?
The name is Magic Circles. And I also tried to copy the colors that she used in hers.
And what would you call these colors?
Shades of peach.
And this other block, you want to tell me about it?
Well, I also found this in a magazine, a Stitch and Sew book, and it's called a parasol. And the lady that made it and entered it in the contest won second place on it. And there was no pattern, so I drafted the pattern for it, and it is pieced in the shape of a, I don't know how many colors, and to look like a parasol. It has red and blue and gold, two shades of red, and a dark print with a red figure in it.
That's beautiful, but somehow it doesn't evoke a parasol in my mind. Does it to you?
Yes, see the center, this is the center of the parasol, and this comes out like the ribs.
Yeah, I see that now. That's beautiful. That's really beautiful. And I think you're very creative to have been able to draft the pattern to that very complicated block.
And these two blocks will probably be the beginning of another sampler quilt.
Do you want to show me some more of these beautiful quilts that you have laying down on the floor? Oh my, is that gorgeous. Here, can I help you fold these?
Now, this quilt was inspired by some pictures that came out in Family Circle magazine. They were shown as pillows.
and I thought they would make a pretty quilt. So I had to draft most of these patterns too. They were, the pattern itself was not in the book. They just told how to the measurements of the patterns. So I bought some of the fabrics that went into this quilt because I was trying to piece the blocks to go along with the picture in the magazine, which was a colored picture.
And this is a combination of piece and applique.
That's right. Mm-hmm. It has pieced blocks, patchwork, and also applique. Now, this is the Kentucky Lily pattern that I was telling you about.
And you see some of the patterns are traditional and some are very new.
This is a Whig Rose, but I have seen other patterns of the Whig Rose that was different to that. This is an oak leaf.
And look, this is the rail fence.
That's a rail fence. This was called the bunny. Did you ever hear of bunny?
No.
Well, did you ever hear the song by Baby Bunny?
Yeah.
Talks about bunny? Well, this, people used to make things in the shape of this corner here, mm-hmm. and they put their babies down in that, and they called them bunnies. They, instead of the snowsuits, that's what they call them today.
Well, I'd heard the term, but I never really knew what it was. And this star design, does it have a special name?
It does, but I don't recall the name for it. I don't remember the name for that star.
That's beautiful. Oh, well, it's
gorgeous.
It's gorgeous. Oops.
That's here. Now this one, my father was an invalid for 13 years. And my mother was in a wheelchair for 8 during that same time. And she liked to do handwork. And there's a lady in Katy's. Is it all right if I call her name?
Sure.
Margaret Rudd. Mm-hmm. She visited mother and father quite often. And she would always carry mother something. When she went, she would take yarns because mother liked to knit. And she went one day and she had a large package of quilt scraps. So, but by that time, mother had, she was just getting to where she couldn't do handwork too well. And along about then too, mother and father had to go to the rest home. So she got to where she couldn't knit at all because she couldn't count her stitches. And I asked her one day if she would like for me to cut some of the blocks out of the fabric that Margaret had brought her, and she could piece her little lap quilt. And she said yes, so I cut the blocks and carried them to her, but she never did piece any of them. So after she passed away in 1978, I pieced the blocks, couldn't forget them.
Well, I'm sure it evokes many memories of your mother in that case, doesn't it? Is this backed with a print?
Yes. It's a sheet.
That's lovely. Gives it a lovely touch. Do you often use a print back on your quilt?
This is the only one that I have ever used.
Oh, my gracious.
Now, this quilt, my husband's mother, his father died, and his mother had to break up housekeeping, and she went to live with one of her daughters. And she liked to piece quilts, so her daughter would get fabric for her, and she would piece quilts, and then the daughter would have them quilted. And she had cut these pieces, but her eyes went bad, and she couldn't piece the quilt after she had cut the pieces. And when she died, why, the daughter gave me the pieces, and I put it together. It's a long star. And
do you want to describe the colors, Mommy?
Well, The center is, I would say, a light red and a blue, and then two shades of pink, and navy blueprint, then orange-yellow, then a red print, and then it starts going back then to the, with the same prints back to the corners. And I might add here about linings. I use sheets quite a bit for linings, but I wouldn't recommend using percale. It is really hard to grip. I use muslin sheets.
This is spectacular.
Now this is a snake trail. And back in the late 30s, early 40s, I worked for a produce house. And there was a lady that worked in the building next door that bought cream. And we worked for the same man, Mr. Pollard White. And ladies come into the produce house to sell their eggs, buy their chicken feed, and come in to sell their cream, saw us piecing this quilt. We had shared the pieces that we had, so they would bring pieces to us. And it ended up, there's over 1,000 pieces in the quilt with no two alike.
That's nice. It means so much more when you've had input from so many different ladies.
And this was 1940. And this is the flower garden. I don't have any story that I can remember behind this one, other than I can remember one thing about some of the fabric that is in this quilt. Back in the Depression, there was a lady named Miss Kate Hooks that lived in Katy's, and the government sent a shipment of fabric in here to the county, and Mrs. Hooks was connected with the Red Cross. So she got a group of ladies together, and we met in the courtroom there in the courthouse upstairs. We would cut out garments for the needy, and then we would take the garments home with us to sew. So Ms. Hooks gave us the scraps that were left over from the cuttings, and some of those scraps are in this group.
That's lovely. That's lovely.
This one is called a moon string. It has the yellow moon in the center of four blocks. And those blocks have got strings running from the moon to the outer edge. And that's the way we used up our string scraps.
That's beautiful. That really is.
And this, I can't tell you too much about this quilt, but my husband's mother made it and gave it to him when we married. I don't know how long it had been made at that time. She made it all.
That's beautiful. And what is the pattern?
I don't know. I don't know what that pattern is. Now this is a wedding ring that I was telling you that I made in 1930.
This was your second quilt?
That's my second quilt.
And it looks brand new.
And I displayed this several years ago. I don't remember I can't remember the year that we would have fairs, and they were held at the schoolhouse. And I entered this quilt once, and I got a blue ribbon on it. But there's a little story that I could tell about it in later years that maybe I shouldn't tell, but it's funny. I laughed about it. But when we first started to have our ham festivals, I thought maybe we might not have as many people to display quilts. And I thought, well, this quilt is old. I won't take it to win any ribbons on it today, but it's getting old, and I'll take it just to show. So I carried it down here, and there were several ladies in, and they were placing the quilts around across benches in the old grand jury room at the courthouse in order to put them on display. And I laid my quilt down on the end of the bench, and I was standing there talking to somebody, and a home agent was standing close to me, and another lady walked up, and she looked down at my quilt, and she said, whose is this? It's not pretty. I didn't say anything. A home agent said, shh.
That's funny.
Now, if you want to erase that from your tape,
no,
you may.
I think that's delightful. That's delightful. Well, I cannot concur with whoever the lady was that said it wasn't pretty.
Well,
I think it's beautiful.
It does show the age. Now, see, it's 53 years old, and the white fabric has yellow, and I washed it to try to get the yellow out, and I didn't get it.
Well,
so whenever, I think when you wash a quilt, it does something to the looks of it.
Well, it does, but it has the patina of age, which gives it a decided charm, I think. That's just beautiful. And all these pieces are, again, all different, aren't they?
Yes. Well, of course, they're not all different.
Yeah.
No.
You can see there's a few repeated.
Yes.
That's beautiful.
Repeated in that. And now this is the one that I was telling you about having that my grandmother made. And she always called me sun and shade because of the dark and the light. Of course, they were set together in different patterns. I don't remember that she ever put hers together any different than this.
And she always made long patterns. I wish she were around today so we could ask her why she always chose that pattern. That's interesting.
Never knew her. I guess she just got in the habit. But I didn't get that from her because I don't like to do the same thing over and over.
Oh, this is spectacular too. I can't say which one I like best. They're all beautiful.
This, the center of this quilt is 12 blocks. And I just put the blocks together without any stripping. My mother pieced those blocks in 1912. That was the year before I was born. But for some reason, she never did finish the quilt. She didn't put the blocks together or anything. And I don't know why. I can't remember that she ever told me why. But she gave me the quilt, because she pieced it when she was expecting me. And I had just kept it over the years. And in fact, it had, when I finally decided to put it together, it had some bad places in it, and I patched it. And now this fabric, it bleeds because I pressed it, you know, to try to get it together to where it would fit. Well, and when I pressed it, well, it was steam iron. And then I bought this dark maroon fabric to go around the edge to border it.
Would you describe the centers of the blocks?
The center of the blocks are just very small blocks. After they were pieced, I guess they would be between a half and three quarters of an inch. And there are eight little blocks by eight.
It's beautiful, just beautiful. And I'm sure it evokes a
great deal of sentiment for you being as
your mother pieced it.
I just have not decided what to do with it yet. I don't really know exactly what I'm going to do with it. I guess I will eventually quilt it, but I don't know hardly how.
Just about have to do an all over quilting design, either a grid or a shell or something.
Have to start on it someday.
Hard to decide. They're just beautiful. Just beautiful. Do you want me to help you fold these?
No. I'm not going to put them away.
Okay.
Right now. I'll make sure some of it.
Okay.
I brought three of my homemakers' course friends in last night after course practice and showed them to me.
Oh, that's lovely.